You're listening to Sermoncast Media from Antioch Community Church in Wichita, Kansas. For more of our sermons, resources, or to support this ministry financially, see our website at antiochwichita.org.
I can truly say that I remember some of the first conversations with Rob, your pastor, about the possibility of planting a church. I mean, I was there from the very beginning. And he is as crazy today as he's ever been. Just such a fine brother, fine church. It seems like forever since I've been at Antioch. Oh, my goodness. Hopefully, Rob will begin to invite me more often. Lorna, I'm clicking away and nothing is happening. I don't really care. I'm a black preacher. I don't need PowerPoint. Hallelujah. Okay. Yeah, you're on now. But it might be a little more interesting for you guys. Look, I am a Christian. Antioch is a Christian community. We are disciples of Christ. We are children of Abraham, which means essentially in a world like ours, we believe certain things. We're believers. We call ourselves believers. We think about things through the lens of believing. And this is a unique time in the West. This is the 21st century. And in light of everything that's going on right now, there's probably now more of a need to genuinely think through what you believe than at any other time. You're flooded with things from everybody about everything, which is a pretty significant thing if you think about it. We walk by faith, not by sight. And these are the two great ways of sort of encountering life. You can either walk by what you believe, especially if what you believe is informed by Jesus of Nazareth, who is our Lord and Master. We submit to him, we obey him. Like the song said this morning, we can't wait to see him. Oh my goodness, I can't wait. My oldest son died 17 years ago. I look forward to seeing him again. He was a sprite. I look forward to seeing my grandmother, who sent me a letter with a $5 bill in it when I was joining the ministry. And very good advice, by the way. She said, the ministry, Don, is about being able to discern your part over against God's part, which is really good advice. You've got to sort of understand life. If you're going to live as a Christian effectively, you've got to learn to live by faith, not by what you hear, not how things appear around you. And today, in an electronic media world, you can hear all kinds of different things that can just completely throw off your faith. And your faith is really your perspective. You want to talk about faith? We live by our faith. We live by what we believe. We live by what we confess. We live by the gospel truth of Jesus of Nazareth. Our perspective that we have, that perspective governs how we act. We don't live our life on the basis of what happens. We live our life on the basis of how we look at what happens. And this is really important for us. We have a perspective, we feel consistent with that perspective, and it affects our situation. Our perspective actually shapes the reactions and the behaviors that we have. I'm a firm believer that you don't live your life based on what's going on in your life. You live your life on the basis of how you think about what's going on. And if you think wrongly, if you're not clear, you can really mess your life up. And add to that the complication that the Bible says that the devil roams around like a prowling lion seeking whom he can devour. And I take this utterly serious. I think this is a time today, more than any other, that those of us who call on the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we have to be clear about what we believe. We all sort of know this text, be sober-minded, be watchful, Peter says in chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to someone to devour. It's random. Look at that strategy. He's just trying to find anyone who may be open to having their perspective messed up. Now, this is a very powerful idea. It shows you satanic strategy. The devil is random. He doesn't care. When I was growing up, we used to fight with our fists to settle matters in grammar school. They don't do that anymore. They sell it with guns and stuff. Dang. But we would always say a person who would use objects around them and stuff as a dirty fighter. The devil is a dirty fighter. He doesn't really care about you or your life. He'll use any lie from anything about anything, the way you look, where you're from, how your kids are doing, what your job is like. It doesn't matter what the lie is about. He'll use anything he can to mess your perspective up because he knows if your perspective is wrong, then he has you. And Peter says we should resist him, fight him, firm in our faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood and the sisterhood throughout the world. Now, I am going to talk about this one little text, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Most of us know that. I like preaching scripture that we all know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own. All your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. It's a marvelous text. And I want to just sort of unpack that text in light of this. I think this is important for a growing, emerging, important community like Antioch. This is important for the staff here. And what I want to talk about is our tendency to overthink stuff. Now, when I'm done, you will know enough of my mind that you can disagree with me, and that'll be fine with me because you will have heard the sermon if you literally listen and either disagree or not. I look at our mind as a pot. I grew up in a little home. My mama, there were eight of my siblings and I. My dad died when I was very young. So it was six girls, my brother and I, and a pot. That's the way my mother cooked for all of us. She was a very humble person from the South. And I can remember things sort of overflowing on the stove. I think our minds are like a pot. Your ordinary mind has issues in it, and the fire under it is your thinking. And you just think about various things. All of us do. We have issues and concerns that deal with family and work, our neighborhood, our job, our health, all the different things that affect our lives. We're Christians in the world. We're not inhuman, we're human beings. We know we're going through things, but we can burn the pot. And this is what I want to talk about. I think that this has really been significant to me in trying to get people discipled. Sermons and teaching, that's all I do. Toomey is committed to training thousands of leaders in communities of poverty all over the world. Dozens of countries use what we do. We train thousands of leaders in prisons and everything else. I am interested in the habits of soul, how your mind goes, because how your mind goes, that's the way your life is going to go. And if you don't take care of your mind is going to take care of you. Now, in a black church, people would have said, oh, yeah, man, say that one more time. Yeah, I heard you, Tyson. That's right is a very good response. That's right. Or my favorite, oh, yeah. Make it plain, brother. Make it plain. Although I think I'm plain enough. I don't think I do. Look, guys, the one thing about your mind is that it works whether you want it to or not. Your mind is always thinking. If you think about this a little while, You're constantly thinking. You cannot turn it off. Your mind is on. Most of the time, our minds are on in very negative things. Guys, this is very important. The devil has direct access to the flow of your thoughts. Now, if let's say for a second that that's true. I've got to prove that in this sermon, that he does. But if he does, it means that every time you get into a rut of overthinking on something, you can hurt yourself dramatically. You can, look, I can tell you that many, not just people in ministry, but just ordinary people, their lives are just in ruins because they never got discipline in their mind. Your mind is your life. You either get your mind together and you'll never be able to get your life together. This is why we preach and have small groups and studies in the Antioch school so you can get your mind right. If you get your mind right, you're going to get your life together. It's a very simple proposition. Guys, Viktor Frankl was this fellow who was a Jewish psychiatrist who happened to study his fellow Jews in Auschwitz. He was a psychiatrist and he's in this. So he studied all of these people who were in a concentration camp, and he wrote a book that has become a standard in psychotherapeutic circles. It's called In Search of Meaning. And essentially, after looking at all of these people in this camp, and all this time, he wrote this book, and his conclusion was this: everything can be taken from a person, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way. No matter what's going on in your life, you got a choice in how you think about it. And that choice is to keep it between being a disciple of Jesus and not being his disciple. If you continue in my word, you'll truly be disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, our Savior said. So, look, I'm a wind-up toy. I've got 5 hours of materials on this. Thank you, Rob, for giving me 2 hours this morning. Amen. Rob ain't going to give me no 2 hours. He knows I'm a black preacher. He's still going to just give me a little bit of time. Guys, here's the thing I want to cover in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and quit overthinking. May I say this? This is important for all of us. If we're going to be disciples of Jesus in 21st century America, you got to get your mind right. You really do. It's your responsibility, no one else. Only you can control your mind. We've got to find a way to let the Lord direct your path. So you already know what I'm teaching about. That's what the sermon is about. What I'm going to do is I'm going to exegete Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I'm going to just, I like exegesis. I'm just going to explain the language and what it means. Then I want to explore this theme of overthinking in the Bible, and then I'm going to end with one or two takeaways. Let me begin with trusting in the Lord with all your heart. This is very simple. I'll just divide this wonderful little simple text up. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I love the Bible. The Bible is just the key to my life. I've taken hundreds of hours of graduate level education on the Bible, and it never ceases to amaze me the wisdom, gentle and simple it is. Don, trust in me with 100% of your inside gut. That's literally what it is. He says, I want you to trust in me. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care what you're running. It doesn't matter to me what you do. I need you. I need your orientation of your life to be around trusting me. Not about worrying about stuff, not about doubting, not about overthinking, not about trying to figure out the future. There's not a person in this room who can figure out what the weather's going to be next Thursday at 6 o'clock in the evening. If you can't figure that out, you don't know what's going to go on in your life. And yet you really spend a lot of time overthinking about everything, your kids, your money, your house, your job, your future, your health. This is an open door for the enemy It's an open door. We invite him in. God begins by saying, trust in me with all your heart. We'll go through all of it. Trust in me with all your heart. Now, I like the Bible because it's written for dummies, and I think I'm a dummy. Trust in the Lord. All I have to do is understand the concepts of trust and the Lord, and I can figure that out. Trust means that I depend on him. That's simple enough. I face a lot of things. I got all kinds of things in my life, in my family, my children who are married, and their my grandchildren. I've got all kinds of things in ministry, everything personally. God says, Don, in everything, trust me. That's his simple advice. Trust in me with all your heart. He didn't say 70% or 28%, all of it. Everything that is in you, I need you to trust in me. I need you to depend on me. I need you to rely on me. This is the antidote for every single situation I face. I can't change the situation. And honestly, I'm a pretty disciplined guy. I like looking at things and weighing pros and cons and talking to advice and figuring it all out and then creating scenarios. You know, in graduate school, we did this thing about blackboard thinking. You come up with a situation and you live it out on a blackboard. Then you erase it. Live it out again. Live it out again. I'm trained to think that way. It's who I am. God said, Don, I don't care how smart you are. Forget the whiteboard. Forget what you think. Don't rely on what you know. Rely on me. It's simple, right? It's so easy. It's so easy. And God says it's the antidote for fearful doubt. I love this text, which is repeated in the Bible over and over and over in the Psalms, in the prophets, Isaiah 12. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. It's a decision. I can decide to trust in God or not. I can decide to worry or I can decide to trust. Nobody else can make me do this. I can either worry about what I've got to face or I can trust God. It's up to me. I like this. I'm free. You know what God did when he commanded us to trust him, what he did? He insulated your trust over against your feelings. God don't care if you feel like trusting. He ordered you to trust. Do you know how freeing that is? You're not phony if you feel like Winnie the Pooh and trust like Rambo. You hear what I'm saying? Don't you know in our society, everybody functions on the basis of authenticity. I feel bad today. I just don't feel right. Can I just have the right to feel the way I feel right now? You know, this is our common thing. God encounters your feelings and he says, essentially, I don't care what you feel. I need you to trust in me. He insulates you from the effect of your feeling. He don't ask you how you feel first. He says, oh, sister, sweet sister, do you feel like trusting me this morning? It's hard, isn't it? I know, brother, it's really hard. I feel you. I feel your heart. God says, however you're feeling this morning, you need to trust in me. Trust me for that. Look at me. Look, I trust me for that. God wants you to trust him in everything. List an issue in your heart that you've been thinking about. And ask yourself, am I trusting God for that? What's the ratio between your doubts over against your commitment to trust? Most people are concerned about a ton of things, aren't you? If we raise our hand and I've said, okay, y'all, what are you concerned about? Concerned about money, I'm concerned about my health, I'm concerned about my kids. And some of us are not just concerns, we're absolutely pee in the pants worried about it. Did I offend y'all by saying pee in the pants? I've actually peed in the pants. So I can say that without. Guys, this is real. Yeah, testify. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. Look, he is is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. It means that everything Don Davis faces in life, from the tiniest to the largest, God has one simple directive in my life. Trust in me. Find out what trust is in this situation and do that now. Now, that's very simple. Wow, you don't need a PhD for that. Right? Anybody can do that. This is good for kids too, right? Kids, adults. Look, guys, we don't lean on our own understanding. He begins with trust. He moves to don't rely on your own thoughts. This has been the most liberating command in my life. I am not liable to follow my own thoughts. Luther, the great reformer, said, if you're fishing and in a river and you pull up a barracuda with the long teeth and, you know, they're just frightening looking fish, he says, if you catch a barracuda, he said, drop it in the boat and step back and look at it. He said, don't handle it. Don't have to say, oh, this is, let me get my hook out of the poor barracudas. You know, he's gonna, you don't mess with the barracuda. Let it flop around until it needs water. Let it die first and then hit it with the oar. Kick it. And then tell a friend, you go over there and pick it. The point is, God says your own understanding can betray you. This is one of the most terrible things in being an American. Since you were in kindergarten, you've been asked what you think. What do you want? Do you want strawberry or chocolate? Do you want to wear your yellow shoes or your strawberry shoes? We'll go with the strawberry. She wants to wear strawberry shoes today. From the time you were little, you've been cultivated to think that what you think is the most important thing about you. And God says, don't you dare lean on what you think. You can really be fooled quickly by doing that. It's an enemy's path. You can ruin yourself by overthinking on your own understanding. Now, this is really genius to me. This is why I love the Bible. Just a simple, just any old verse will do. Don't rely on your own understanding. Now, guys, I've been using the word overthinking. I just want to, let me define it, my definition. Overthinking is automatically jumping to wrong conclusions and hunches. It's acting as if everything that pops in your mind is valid. And the most important thing that a disciple of Jesus must learn is that the things that course through your mind ain't all true. You can't just accept everything that just floats through your mind. You're going to ruin yourself if you do. The best thing you can do is to begin to challenge some of the things that pop automatically in your mind. Have you ever noticed, even in worship, some of the strangest and most terrible things can happen? You're worshiping God. Jesus is the King of kings. What was that? Where did that come from? Do you think that every thought that flows through your mind is directly from you? Let me ask you a simple question. Do you believe that the spiritual realm has access to your thoughts in any way? If they do, you must be careful. Dear friends, I don't believe a lot. I am skeptical. I'm like a bouncer at a club when it comes to thoughts in my mind. I'm standing, hey, what you doing here? Don told me to interview. Boy, you better step back. You ain't getting in here. Now, why are you here? What's your name? You don't look right. Why do you think you should come into Don's spirit and mess with Don's mind today? I interview the thoughts in my mind. I am heart attack serious about my mind. Y'all need to understand, Antioch to me was formed on conviction. You know why I'm doing this sermon, Rob? I've never met a Christian more convinced of what he was doing than Rob Dance when he started. He was heart attack serious. He was willing to give up job, family. He was crazy. And he was precisely the dude that God could use. Because of that, he's serious, more serious in his own mind. He was hungry, he was clear, he was dedicated, he was anxious, He was squint-eyed at things. You know what I mean by squint-eyed? You know, there are people just wide-eyed over. There are some people, wait a minute, hold, time. Who are you and why are you here? And what you thinking about? Who said, where did you come from? What's your name, boy? Don't get your hands out your pockets. Yeah, look, I'm just saying, look, if you're not accustomed to being strong-minded, you're being pushed around by your mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not lying, y'all. Your mind will play tricks on you. It will push you around. If you defy those things, look at these amazing texts. It's pretty amazing. God says essentially to me that relying on snap judgments in your mind is both foolish and dangerous. Look at Proverbs 28:26. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. Now, can we read? I'll read that one more time. Whoever trusts in his or her own mind is a fool. God ain't putting you down. He just knows that if your first go-to act is just accepting everything that comes into your mind about everything you're doing and everyone you know, you are setting yourself up for misery. Not everything that pops into your mind is true. But the one who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Or my favorite verse in a theme verse at the Institute is test everything. Test everything. Hold fast what is good. This is one of my favorite verses. It gives me license to test everything. My first act is not to agree with any thought that pops into my head. I can test it. Why is this true? Where did this come from? Do I agree with this? Is this true to facts? Why should I accept this? Is it true that my kids ain't gonna make it and my wife ain't gonna get better? That my job is it true that God's gonna forsake me and I'm gonna be by myself? You've got to at least ask the question, God says, and test whether or not those things are correct. I view it as a playlist. I think that our thoughts are just like a playlist. And you create a playlist every morning and you play it. Have you ever looked at the songs on your playlist, your mental playlist? Do you know what you're saying to yourself? Do you plan what you're gonna say to yourself? Guys, I'm that way. I know I'm weird. I apologize. Rob doesn't have to ask me back. I actually think about what I'm going to tell myself today. I'm not lying. I'm from a high church background, liturgical, which means we don't trust nothing that ain't boring and slow. You know what I'm saying? Liturgical background mean that we have to allocate. We have the invocation before we have this and before we have that. You know why that does that? I do that to train my insides. I don't trust myself. I need to be directed. I need to understand. I wake up and there are certain routines I go through. I have a playlist. I don't trust my own mind. I know that as strong as I am, when I worry for hours. Are you like me? I'll think about something and I'll stay on it. I'll take it like a diamond and look at it from every angle. I'll live and my nervous system don't have the sense to know that I'm just thinking. So I feel terrible about it and I'm worried about it and I'm nervous about it and I'm feeling the same way as if everything fell apart. And then the next hour, I begin all over again. I know hundreds of believers, y'all, whose inner lives are nothing but torture due to their own out-of-control thoughts and their ability not to know what they're saying to themselves. Now, at this point in a sermon like on this, people either believe me or not. I believe myself. Maybe it's because I'm so pathological in so many areas. Look, but I'm telling you guys, this is really significant. In all our ways, we are to acknowledge our Lord. This is the way he put it. Look at how simple this is. Trust in me. Don't lean on your own understanding. Simply acknowledge me in everything you do, add me to the equation of every doubtful thought process. Add me to every scenario that you raise. Add me to it. Put me in it. Put me in every situation that you face with all the money that you got, everything at your job, all the troubles that you're having. Insert me in there. Don't finish thinking unless you put me in that too. In all your ways, acknowledge me. It's a very simple thing. He didn't say figure it out. He just says acknowledge me. Acknowledge that I'm God, that I'm here, that you're not alone. Just acknowledge me. I'm here. How does that change the way you think about what you were thinking about? Just acknowledging that he's present. He says it'll change things if you acknowledge him. Now, for me, I'll be honest, I think that our thoughts are automatic and we shouldn't act on them. I think this is one of the most important things in discipleship. If I want to train someone to be a leader or an effective Christian, the first thing I do, I want them to get a handle on their automatic thinking. If they don't figure that out, their life is going to be messed up. No training is going to help them because their mind is going to take over. Do you remember this text? You've heard it before. You've seen it. You keep her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. You see that? Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God, I'm fighting my own PowerPoint. I'm going to win because I'm in control of my thoughts right now. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Guys, look at that. You keep in perfect peace the ones whose mind is stayed. Guys, here's the formula. It's very simple. Am I saying that you never watch TV or never chill or never have fun? No. God just says, whatever you do, stay your mind on him. Invite him along. Acknowledge him. Dear friends, I say my children with this simple thing of effect. When my kids were very thoughtful. All my kids were involved in like advanced studies. My daughter is a professor at the University of North Texas. She was a tenured professor at the University of Louisiana. My kids were all doctoral level in English. They're brilliant kids. And because they're so brilliant, they tend to overthink everything. So when they were little, we had this game that we called baloney talk. Now, baloney talk is very simple. They would be thinking, and you know how kids will go, they'll just talk themselves into a little fit over anything in particular. And any one of us could tell the other one of us, that's baloney talk. And baloney talk was when you're saying something to yourself that you know you can't prove and it ain't good for you. And so my kids were, I could hear them in the background, that's baloney talk. Baloney talk. They were just going around the house. Guys, we trained them from a kid that you can't just listen to your own mind. You'll talk yourself into fits, into rages, into crazy. And there's a plenty of crazy in our society today, right? It's because people's minds are completely overgrown. No one ever taught them baloney talk. No one taught them to control your mind. Not everything that pops in your mind is true. Don't be committed to everything. Test it. Guys, this is, for me, the most significant thing. We should turn, in my mind, we should turn the fire down. That's the only way to get the pot from cooking. You've got to turn it down. You really do. You have to commit your way to the Lord first. I like this simple text that, you know, in all your ways acknowledge him. Commit your works to the Lord. Your plans will be established, God says. Very simple. Look, fear boils the pot. And I think your thoughts really just add to the fear. So I think God is saying, Don, if you want to be my disciple in a time as troubled as yours and things as iffy as you find them, you need to learn right now the singular habit of entrusting your situation to me. I think this is what Paul told the Philippians. Don't be anxious about anything, he says. About anything. Name a thing in your life that you're anxious about. God orders you not to. Guys, he's not asking you. I don't want you to be worried about that. Stop worrying about that. Now just think about what it is. Think of whether or not you acknowledged him first. He said, don't, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's so simple, isn't it? You don't even have to be smart or know a lot of Bible. He just says, he orders me, Don, don't get all flustered. It's not about you, young brother. He says, if you will do these simple things, I will direct your paths. I will make your paths straight, he said, depending on your translation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Very simple, all your heart, not just 70%. Take everything to me. Don't lean on your own understanding. How simple could that be? However smart you are, you're not smart enough. I'm sorry. Guys, you just need to accept that. It'll change you. It'll change your life if you just accept this simple thing. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledging, and he will make your path straight. Oh, my goodness. He will direct your path. Now, guys, it is not within us to lead ourselves. I think that's what God essentially is saying. It's not within me to know how to lead my life. I can't direct my life. I don't know. I need to be careful of my first reactions. This is one of the verses. I don't know if you guys memorize scripture, but this is a great scripture if you haven't memorized to begin. I know, Lord, that the way of a person is not in him or herself. That is, it's not in a person who walks to direct his steps. God never asked me to figure out my own life on my own. Isn't that wonderful? It's not in me. I can give that up. I don't have to do that. He will lead us, he says, in his own way. I love Psalm 25 says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs in the way. He leads the humble in what is right, the humble in his way. And God is clear that he will grant you the wisdom if only you ask for. I love the way how simple God is. He said, if any of you lacks wisdom, if you're worried about something, ask me. I give to everyone generally, and I never put you down for asking. That's what reproach is. It will be given you. I want you to know how to get through this. You don't have to worry, but let her ask in faith. Don't you doubt when you ask. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Guys, this is a pretty simple truth, right? I mean, this is like very easy. This is so simple. You explore this theme. It's just a very clear idea. You can be your own worst enemy. You just need to learn to quit overthinking by affirming the truth. You have to trust God and to lead you. And I love this truth because I don't graduate from it like I took Spanish or I took algebra. This is the truth of my Christian life. This is what I do as a Christian. I learn to trust God. I quit overthinking. And I affirm that he is in control. He knows me. He will lead me every single step, no matter what it is. It's so easy that it's so simple you can lose it. And it's everywhere affirmed in the Bible. You know Romans 12. It says, I appeal therefore to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual worship. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed by the renewing of my mind. Do you want to be transformed? Change your mind. There it is. Open secret. for everyone at Antioch and every other church. And I'm not even going to ask you for money for giving you that. Guys, you can know what is good and acceptable and perfect simply by having your mind transformed. It's marvelous. Look, there's a book, I won't bore you with all the details, I'll summarize it. In Thinking Fast and Slow, this guy, it's an amazing book. I read books by weird people. A cognitive linguist wrote this book, and I like reading hard books and crazy stuff. And essentially, I'll just explain the quote. He said essentially that the brain is lazy. Your brain wants to believe anything that floats through your mind. It's anti-intuitive for you to challenge your own thoughts. You hear what I'm saying? You go with what you think. She hated me. That's why she did that. You go with that, right? Your brain is lazy. You don't have to accept that. You can say, well, is that really the case? Is that really true? Is it really true that if I lose my job, that my life is over? Is that really true? Is it really true the things that you're saying to yourself? He says that because our brains are surprisingly lazy, there's a bias that creeps into our thinking. Whatever floats through is what I accept. And this ruins people. We fill counseling offices because people are out of control in their minds. They've never been taught that just because something floats through your mind, that don't mean it's true. Now, guys, in my mind, this is really great. He ends this quote. He said, automatic thoughts are often very believable, but they can be inaccurate. He said, in summary, your thoughts are not facts. Your thoughts are not truths. Your thoughts need to be tested to see if they're consistent with the truth. That's what I love about being a Christian. Oh, my goodness. I love it. And I've seen it in training people all over the world. I've seen when they've gotten control of their minds, when the truth of Christ has changed them, their lives are changed. They view themselves different. They view their futures different. They understand everything. No longer do they overcook, and they're not slaves to automatic thoughts anymore. They are free. They have risen to the occasion, and they call into question overthinking. Dear friends, every time you say a praise song, have you ever noticed how packed, like peanuts in a Snickers bar, praise songs are with truths? They're just filled with truths. You know why God inhabits the praises of his people? Because when those are there, you speak the truth. Luther said that singing great songs is like praying twice. It's like you drill that in, you pile drive that on. You need that. Do you realize how many tens of thousands of thoughts that you have every single day? And if you're not aware, you're telling yourself a lot of negative stuff hundreds and hundreds of times a day. Oh my goodness. Guys, look, I'm a shameless plug. I never do this. I wrote a book on this. I did. It's called Get Your Pretense On. Get Your Pretense On. I took it from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, in the seventh chapter of Mere Christianity, said that to be a Christian, you've got to pretend your way into the truth. He said certain things are true about you, and you've got to feel that or not, but you can act on what is true, and you'll start feeling that way. And that, thus, the title of the book, Get Your Pretense On. Start pretending your way into the truth. Guys, this ain't being phony. What I'm saying is that you can stop thinking about things. You can't stop. But think, you have to train your thoughts to replace these automatic thoughts with ones that correspond to the truth. And I can say Antioch, from the very first day I was here, I can remember when I witnessed my first Antioch service at a grammar school, the worship band, Brandy and Steve, I thought it was spectacular. Honestly, I've always felt that the worship in this church is just gifted. There is no good reason why you shouldn't pump your soul filled with Antioch worship constantly. Antioch should have a studio, Rob, and you should make this music available and people press with four fingers play every single day. I am not lying, y'all. I really discipline my mind. Not any old thing is going to come into my head. I think God has used that. Let me close with this, and I'll be within my time frame, which is very rare for me. I mean, trust in the Lord with all your heart and quit overthinking was the thesis of this little sermon. Guys, I would say that you would take this away with you. You need to learn to trust fully in God and recognize the sabotage of your automatic thoughts. You really do. You need to get control of your life by learning to get control of your overthinking and renew your mind with the word of God, right speech, and praise. God-focused praise, in my judgment, is one of the best ways to control your mind. It is. Solid Bible teaching. Go to, join Antioch School, y'all. Take a class. You need to take a class. Memorize scripture here. I think you need to avoid conversations with certain people that are not helpful. This is really important. And I think you need to seek out uplifting stories. You really need to guard your mind. You need to fellowship with people who are godly and who can encourage you. You need to form new habits of flash prayer and faith. All of these things will turn the fire down. And I think that if Antioch, Rob, I'll say this as I close. If Antioch is to become the community that I believe that God wants you to do and have the fruit in Wichita and beyond that you should, you're going to have to create brand new tracks of truth here. You're going to have to be a community that loves the truth, where everyone here takes seriously their own mind. You're going to have to take this seriously. I'm not lying. Only you can do this for yourself. I've done it for myself. I'm not lying. I'm not just accepting everything that pops into my head. Jesus could say about his playlist. He could say, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth, not doubt and overthinking, will set you free. I pray this for you. Pray every one of us. I pray this.